When I think I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, he and Mary have been faithful servants. They have two children. They've been laboring for Christ, and God's done a lot through them. Pastor Dan is part of our fellowship that we, as other pastors, get together with Pastor Wes and I. He's a tremendous encouragement. He's not the youngest guy in that fellowship anymore. You may be the most seasoned, Pastor Dan. Could I say it that way? But his mind is young. He's our techie guy. He has the latest, greatest, whatever it is that is put out there. You know, I still have a flip phone. He's way, 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 way past that. And yeah, so anyway, but I need to say this about Pastor Dan. He is a godly man, a great encouragement. I think of this in what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. And in this case, moreover, it's required of stewards that one be found faithful or trustworthy. And that is what he is. And I can't think of for Pastor Wes, I just think, what a tremendous man to have to come and challenge his heart. So you guys are going to welcome Pastor Dan Waters today, and he's going to come. Let's give him a warm welcome, Pastor Dan.
Pastor Brad doesn't know me as well as he thought he did, because there it is right there. Track phone.
What are you preaching on?
iPad. Can't preach off my track phone. You all are blessed to have two men like this that love the Lord, Pastor Cochran, Pastor Marshner, and you are blessed. I hope you realize that, and what a joy it is to know them and to be a part of the same fellowship. It's a tremendous joy. Pastor Wes Marshner, soon to be Rev Wes Marshner. Boy, tomorrow morning you're going to wake up and Katie's going to look at you and you said, man, I don't know, he looks the same to me. And you're going to look at yourself in the mirror and you say, I don't feel any different. Go hunting. That'll make you feel good tomorrow. He's going to do that. Yesterday, we had a great time. We grilled Pastor Wes thoroughly. He didn't really seem nervous to me. I've got to watch my clock here. He didn't seem nervous at all. He did a great job. I count him as a good friend. Pastor Brad, on the other hand, he was nervous. He kept watching the clock every couple of minutes because he had a bunch of pastors, and he was trying to keep them in schedule and on time, which is like herding cats, you know. It's not an easy thing to do. And he got us out on time. He kept looking at the men and saying, are there any more questions? And I'd say, one more question. I think he was looking at me, and I'd ask one more. But see, already this morning, a shot across the bow, you know. We're trying to get done for the food, and I'm reminded of that. So, okay. Pastor Wes. One point, but there's really four, but one remember, one that you need to remember, and if you don't remember anything else, remember this one. You know, pastors preach 3 points in a poem, and congregation doesn't realize, we don't remember that in 2 or 3 weeks. Only Pastor Rick Malone remembers all the details in the, you know, from 3 weeks ago, but I don't. So remember one point, and I'll throw in a couple more for free. The one point. Never give up. Never, ever give up. You realize of the 20 people being ordained this year, 19 of them aren't going to finish in the ministry. It's a shocking statistic. I hope that scares you a little bit. It scares me a lot. I'm glad that you're starting well. But there are other men that started well. The pastor that laid his hands on me and ordained me to the ministry, divorced. Another man that went into the ministry from our church down in Illinois, divorced. An evangelist friend that I know, divorced. And other people, they retired early to get out of the ministry. Missionary, conflict with leadership, out of the ministry. Run a little scared. The old baseball pitcher, Satchel Paige, he said, I never look back for fear that something might be gaining on me. So keep looking forward and press on. First of all, there's pressures from the world. You know, the world is a bad place out there. It's a lot of pressure. In John 17 and verse 14, Jesus said, I have given, and this is in the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. He said, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. So this is his charge to us. The world hates us. It did back then, and it hasn't changed. He goes on and ends verse 15. He said, keep them from the evil one. That's what we need, is victory over the evil one. There's a target on your back. You know, you get ordained, there's a target on your back, probably on your front too. There's no respect for a lot of people these days. We have politics. There's not a lot of respect among politicians, among Congress, if you've seen them dealing with one another, the police, among the races. We used to joke together. That was a lot of fun. You can't joke anymore. And there's not a lot of respect for clergymen, you'll find out. Not a lot of respect for Christian theology, like right to life and other things dear to my heart. Katie, you need to be an encourager for Wes. It's both of you in the ministry. Don't try to keep him out of the arena. He's going to get bloodied every once in a while and bruised every once in a while. Happened to Peter, happened to Paul. They got bruised on occasion, but they didn't give up. And Wes, your wife and children might get bruised a little bit from time to time. They're in this with you. Don't give up. You should protect them, but it's not possible to insulate them. And then there's the pressure from other Christians. We're such nice people. I don't know why we don't get along more. This church is different. I've heard from them that this is a great church, and I'm so glad for that. But there's pressures from Christians. I've been hurt more by Christians than the world. It just is a fact of life. Opposed more by other Christians, elders, deacons sometimes. It just proves the point of Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so that's the human state. What do you have to do when things like that happen? I love Ephesians 4:32. It's the greatest marriage counseling verse. It's a good ministry verse. It says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Don't wait for months to go by to forgive people. Ted Cruz was offended, his wife was offended, and he waited, and finally, I think kind of, sort of, he's made a forgiveness. I don't know. But forgive right away. This church is a loving body and full of encouragers. Pastor Dan said it in Sunday school. A word of encouragement goes such a long way. And we all need to hear that. One word, good or bad, from someone on Sunday morning can make a huge difference all week long. Winston Churchill said it well, and maybe you've heard of that shortest commencement speech in history that he never made, but he said something like that. Never give up. Never give up. Point one, if you don't remember anything else, remember that one. Never give up. Number two, a little bit of surprise, read the Bible. Read the Bible. And I don't mean preparing for sermons and teaching and all that. I mean, read the Bible for your soul. 1 Timothy 4:15, take pains with these things. Be absorbed with them so that your progress will be evident to all. King James, meditate on these things. 1982, September, which is 34 years ago, I got a new version of the Bible out, hard copy, no notes, no center references or anything, and just started reading it, wanted to read the version. And I made some notes, some underlines. And the next year, I made some more underlines and notes and kept doing that. And I love it. I got, I learned something at seminary, four-color big pen, came up with a simple marking system. I mean, I've been marking it ever since. It is great. Some people like to start out with the clean Bible every year, and I've done that too. But I love that old Bible. It's all marked up. I love it. You know the things that take people out of ministry. Everybody knows. Laziness, other women, pornography, desire for more money than you have, bad habits. You know the list. Keep your nose in the book, and your nose won't be in other things. Peter gave the same counsel, didn't he? He said, desire the sincere milk of the word. So it takes work to maintain our excitement for the Lord, doesn't it? And we have to work at it. And oh, what a delight. It takes work to maintain a marriage, to keep excitement in it over the years, to keep it long term. But it's work that pays dividends. So you might remember about the Bible. Don't forget point number one. Point number three, I'm adding a burden now, be a servant. Be a servant. Jesus told his disciples how to be great. They were worried about that. Mark 9:35. He said, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. That's how to please the Father. Not that we want to be puffed up, but we want to please the Father. So Jesus came as a servant. He came and he healed the nobodies of this world. He raised some nobodies from the dead. He called 12 nobodies and he poured his life into them and he was a servant to them. When it came time to wash feet, anyone could have done it, but nobody did it. Jesus stepped forward. He washed the feet. When it comes to ministry, stoop down, do ministry. Don't worry about what other pastors do or don't do. Do what Jesus told us to do right here. By the way, serve your wife. Serve your wife. Lay down your life for her day after day. Don't worry about payback. Just minister to her and love her. You don't have to lecture her or force her, try to do right, but just minister to her. Do this and it'll set you free. Always remember when it comes to ministry, she's number one, not the ministry, not this church. Your wife is number one. If she isn't, you'll not stay in the ministry very long. So marriage is great when you have two servants. Works wonderfully. If you only have one of them that wants to be a servant, it can work. When you have two people, neither one want to be a servant, it can unravel pretty quickly. So be a servant. Do what Jesus said. Number four kind of dovetails back to number one. Keep your eyes on the finish line. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I've fought the good fight, and it's a fight. We have a missionary that we support that's literally been in some fights overseas, a knife fight. I get a kick out of that. Send him out as a missionary. You never know. But it's hard. Paul talked about wrestling. I've finished the course, not our course, but his course. Some people finish too early. They said, I'm done. But God will tell you when you're done. And I've kept the faith. People keep asking me, are you retired now? Are you done? And I keep going. I love John Whitcomb. Heard him this morning coming down on the radio. 92 years old. He prayed at the Ark when they gave the... not that Ark. I asked for that one. The other Ark. They had to bring him in on a wheelchair, but he's still going. On the radio every week, but he's live most weeks there. And so I've heard about my retirement from enough people, you know, I think they're looking forward to it. But anyway, I'm going to keep going and serving the Lord. Finish well. So sometimes God puts a burden on you. You know, you think, I can't handle any more. And then he gives you two or three more things. You just got to keep on plugging, keep on going. So you guys are off to a great start. Now finish. Finish well. Don't finish until God says that you're finished, and finish to the glory of God. I can't believe it. Under time and under budget.
That was beautiful. Amen and amen. I don't make any guarantees that I'm going to be under time. You guys know that, right? Praise God. That was beautiful, Pastor Dan. Well, let's cut to the chase. Turn to Romans 15:30. Romans 15:30. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints. Pastors have a bullseye on their backs and at times tread marks on their chests. Pastor Dan just referred to that just a little bit. Everyone here today, every one of us are in need of prayer, and that includes those who stand before you and minister the Word of God. The reality of being a pastor can be described in a number, I believe, of contrasts. It can be exhilarating, thrilling, and rewarding. You know, when we see the Lord at work, whether that is the saving of a soul or growth within an individual, families and marriages that are where God is powerfully at work, it just doesn't get any better than that. I just need to say that to you. I came across a photo that I think can well describe the other part of the contrast, what some days can be like as a shepherd of the flock. I hope this will work. Be a pastor, they said. I don't know if you can see, but he's being chased by a lot of people with swords and spears and so forth. Be a pastor, they said. It will be fun, they said. I'm not going to leave that up. It'll be a bit distracting. But I believe, I came across that a couple months ago, and I'm like, yeah, there's some days like that. Contrary to what many may think, pastors do not have it all together. We just don't. It can be, it can be joyful and all that. On the other hand, it can be terrifying. It can, Pastor Dan Robinson mentioned this morning in our Sunday school class, just a fact that we have all felt, that it can be terribly draining physically. It can take a lot out of you. There are Mondays, I've said this before, when it's probably best for me not to speak to any of you. Not that I don't love you, but it's everything is gone. It can be nerve-wracking. There is not only great joy, there can be tremendous grief. And so as we lead, we don't lead as those who have it all together. Those who lead a congregation are sinners helping sinners. But we pastors stand in the gap. And in that gap, in that apex, there's a battle being waged for the name above all names. And if you as a congregation, as I give you a charge, a challenge today, would ask the question, what could I do? What could I do to most help Pastor Wes out, Katie and their family? And I believe the answer is pretty simple. I believe it is this: to keep them in your prayers. Keep them in your prayers. We can go back, and we're going to, and get into the heart of a mind of a pastor, a missionary, who the Spirit of God used to pen a few words that I'm going to share with you today. And that's exactly what he says. The Apostle Paul was a man who knew what it was like to watch over a church, and we could say churches. He felt the heat of the battle as he labored in love and ministered to the saints. And one of the things that he asked them was to pray for them. Note again, Romans 15:30. Now I urge you, brethren. The word translated urge, strife here. That you strive together with me in your prayers, verse 30, to God. He's urging them, and by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in prayers. And that word strive has the idea of contending for victory. Contending for victory, to fight in company with, to assist, to help in a fight. Prayer, friends, prayer can be agonizing. It can be difficult. It's one of the disciplines that I think can be most difficult in the Christian life. But when we pray, when you pray for Pastor Wes and Katie, you're engaging in the battle. You become part of that. You're striving for victory there for them. He says here, I urge you, brethren, strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea. I believe Paul writes this when he's about to head into Jerusalem. And if you remember some of the teaching of the book of Acts, as he headed for Jerusalem, there were individuals who said, chains await you there. It's going to be difficult. And it was, but God delivered him. But he believed his victory would be through the prayers of the saints. And he says here, that I may be rescued, verse 31, from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints. There was an acceptable service there for the apostle. He was welcomed. He ministered to those who were there. But I believe that victory came through prayer. The answer to the prayer was just around the corner. Paul walked right through it. But it was through prayer, that intercessory prayer of the saints of God that worked out the will of God in Paul's life. Don't miss that. And he was convinced that he needed the prayers of God's people. Secondly, I want to say, be willing to pray, okay? Be willing to pray. Pastor Wes, his family need your prayers. God moved through the prayers of his people. Strive in prayer for Pastor Wes. He's desperate for it. He's dependent upon it. James 5:16 says the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Brothers, sisters, we need to pray. We need to pray for them. Secondly, if you'll turn over to 2 Corinthians 1:11, just a couple books over, 2 Corinthians 1:11. This isn't a complete, obviously, sermon on the apostle's thoughts toward prayer for him and how he asked for it and how that all worked out. I'm just kind of giving you a tidbit here. I'd like to say, secondly, just be praying for help in ministering. Look at verse 11, 2 Corinthians 1:11. You also joining in, helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. The prayers of many. Paul was convinced that God's favor would be granted to him because of the prayers of many. Now, listen, the benefit was not only to him and to his co-workers, but it was also to the church, to the congregation, for the glory of the Lord. He says, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf. Not only does one's pastor benefit from the prayers of the saints, but this blessing is to the congregation. If the pastor's doing well, functioning as he ought, it's a wonderful help that the prayers of God are giving him as the saints intercede for him. But I wanted to tell you, I'm convinced that when a church is stuck in a rut, when a pastor seems to be stale in the pulpit, when nothing is happening, it's because I believe no one is praying. I believe that. I've experienced it in my life. I've seen it through ministry through the years. So we need to pray. It's a wonderful help to the ministry of the church, of which you and I benefit. We need him to do well. And if he's going to do well, he needs for us to be praying. He needs your prayer to carry on the ministry. He stands in need of our intercession. Friends, you cannot pray too much, but you can pray too little. There are those that faithfully pray for me in ministry, and I'll tell you, they can do nothing better for me than that. Nothing better for me. Finally, I'll finish up in Ephesians 6 here. So this great man, the Apostle Paul, said, I need people to pray. And we can ask for no less. We must have people praying. Be willing to pray. Be praying for help in ministry. And be praying for boldness and clarity in speech. Look at Ephesians 6, 19 to 20. Pray on my behalf. Pray on my behalf. I have to just tell you, when I hear this, I'm reminded of a seasoned pastor who I one time stood next to while he was greeting individuals going out to church. And I heard him say this a lot of times to his people. Pray for me. Pray for us. Pray for me. Pray for us. Pray for the ministry. He's reminding them of a great truth that he was sold on. The apostle says, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in opening my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. Every pastor in America because of the politics and the views of a constantly changing culture, needs boldness in the gospel and boldness in declaring the entire word of God. Pastors are fearful these days, and many are bowing to the pressure to be silent on certain issues, those things you can't touch, those things that are not politically correct to address. Christians in general, and pastors in particular, need to stand firm. Now, if Paul, an outspoken witness for Christ, asked for boldness with the gospel and clarity to speak as he should in his day, our request can be no less. My request for Pastor Wes is no less than this. I need to pray for him that he will be, there'll be a, I would say, a gracious boldness in proclaiming the word of God, and that God might give him clarity of speech that he might proclaim as he needs to proclaim. We need that. We need that. Paul asked for that. He asked for boldness. He asked for clarity in his day. Pray for Pastor West to stand firm on the word and have a boldness, a courageous boldness for Christ. I'm convinced that one of the reasons the average Christian in our country has little courage, little backbone, little effectiveness in our culture is because the shepherds that are leading them have little courage. They are no longer bold in the word or their personal lives. They've caved to the pressures that come against them. And by the way, we feel it. I want you to know that. We feel that as pastors. We hear it. We see it. We know what's going on in our culture. But this lack of conviction trickles down to the person in the pew. I believe that we as pastors need to be bold, and that does something for our people. So pray for Pastor Wes. Pray that he will be bold. Pray that he will have clarity in his speech. Paul was convinced that he needed those prayers. And I stand convinced that we and he need those prayers as well. There's nothing better you can do for your pastor, for Pastor Wes, than to pray for him. I'll just give some specifics and then we'll close. I'll just start out kind of with what I just said. Pray that he'll have courage to stand firm, contending for the faith as a man of God. You pray that. You pray that his heart would be tender toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And this really deals with his personal quiet time with Christ. You pray for that. Pray that that love of Christ would just overflow from his heart into the people. And that when they've been with him, they could say, I've been with someone that knows Christ. I can feel it. I can see it. I can sense it. You pray that. Pray that God would allow him to be faithful and steadfast. Pastor Dan Waters touched on this, to finish well. But that's just a daily steadfastness. That's a daily faithfulness. It's required of stewards that one be found faithful or steadfast. We need to pray that for him. We need to pray that pride would be kept at bay. I'll tell you, as pastors, that is a constant battle. We stand before people. People seek us out. We have, sometimes, all the answers, right? And it's our hearts move naturally toward that. Look in your own life. I think you could see it there as well. But we can never take this as something that's owed to us and be domineering or lording over people. We want to be tender and humble before Christ. Pray that pride would be kept at bay. Pray that he can have a proper balance in ministry and family. Just pray that. That can get out of kilter so fast. It's hard. I just have to tell you, it's hard. I'll tell you, as a pastor, I'm never done. There's always something else that needs to be attended to. There's always that. There's always that. There's a constant pressure there. But we need to keep a balance in our life, and it's work. Pray that God would impart wisdom to him for every occasion, for every occasion. Pastors deal with a lot of things. Pray for his marriage, his wife, for him as a husband, for him as a father. You pray that they would do well there. So, congregation, I'm saying empower this man through prayer. Through prayer. And I charge you to pray, to enter the battle, to strive, to enter the battle on behalf for the glory of the Lord and the good of the body of Christ. Loving Father, I pray that this would be the case for us. Prayer can be the thing that's most needed and the last thing that we do. And I pray that our conviction would be great. We've seen where your servant, the Apostle Paul, ask others to intercede on his behalf. Father, we can do no less. I would pray that as a congregation, we would be steadfast here and grow in it for your glory. In the name of our Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, at this moment in time, I'm going to ask our elders to come. I'm going to ask Pastor Wes and Katie to come. We are going to, Pastor Dan is going to lead in prayer for them. We're going to lay our hands on them and just pray a blessing on them. So elders, if you'll come, Katie and Wes, Pastor Wes and Katie, if you can get right here, and I'll get Pastor Dan right behind this mic, right behind the pulpit. We'll get behind you.
Heavenly Father, we are humbled by you. You are the great one. The servant is not about a man. It is about that man's God. Father, maybe there are some here that don't know you yet. I pray for those in this room, God, that they might be saved. And others that need to serve you. God, I'm amazed that I'm saved. Amazed that you allow me to touch your book. Amazed that you allow me to serve you. I pray that that all would come upon Wes, that it would continue, that he would be faithful, God, until the day that you call him home to stand before you, and that he and Katie would just love you supremely, that they would be dedicated to serving you. And God, during times of joy, may they have joy in their God. May the times of difficulty, may they have faith in their God, that God, this battle is not ours. It's bigger than us. It's your battle. And we pray for them that they would keep that straight, they would keep their burdens rolled upon you, and that they would just be faithful, God. Bless them, God, richly, their family, their children. May each one come to know Christ and serve you faithfully as well. And bless this congregation, Father. This is a marriage between a man and a people, and may they all be welded together for your glory. God, may we be faithful until we stand before you. And I pray for Wes, I pray for Katie, that they would hear, well done, good and faithful servant. God, keep them humble, keep them going. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Bless you guys.
Okay, what I'm going to do is ask Pastor Wes and Katie to work their way to the back, and I'd ask Pastor Dan to do the same as well. You can greet him. Pastor Dan Robinson and Cindy, would you do the same? And Pastor Rick and Deb Malone, and you guys can all catch up to them in just a moment. So just a couple other things to say, and I will ask the blessing on the food as well, because you're going to stay, right? You're going to stay, right? I don't know if you guys are there. All right. I want to make mention of one thing, and then we'll pray, okay? Pastor Wes came to faith in Christ, I think it's like 7 years ago. There may be someone here today is wondering what this is all about. He understood he was a sinner in great need of a Savior. And what Jesus Christ had done met everything that God desired in a person. And Jesus went to the cross for his sins, paid for the penalty of those sins, and through faith in Jesus Christ and what he'd done on Pastor Wes's behalf. Faith, trust in that, gloriously saved him, and you see a man dramatically changed today. If you're here without Christ, today is the day for you to trust him. Okay, saints, I'm going to ask you to stand. Let's stand and we'll pray for blessing on the food. And we want to just thank the Lord for that. Loving Father, what a great moment in time that we have right now. And we thank you. Thank you for the transformation of a heart and the growth of that individual. But it has been said, this isn't about a man. This is about the Lord. This is about you. This is about what you have done. And we praise you. Thank you for those that are going to stay, Father, and we pray that we'll continue our fellowship. Thank you for the food that has been prepared and those ladies and perhaps men that have labored hard with that. Father, increase our joy as we just lift our hearts to you and say, thanks. You are a great God. Thank you for what you've done. Bless this ministry. Bless these people. Protect it. Grow it for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're